B-Pod Studios.
Three o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli show. So 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philadelphia. To the 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Corbelise Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie parmesan is every bit as good. We'll check in with Serena Winters, NBC Sports Philadelphia sideline reporter for the telecast. Get our insights on tonight's game and how the boys may be rebounding from almost playing 40 minutes last night. And also, I just got an email from an obnoxious Celtic fan. I think I'll read it. So, Mike, if the Sixers pull out this big game tonight, when are you guys going to have a parade, you think? Friday? Should I wait for the weekend? Go Celts. I hate all four of your teams.
Why does he listen?
I was just going to say.
A smug Boston team. I'm a Boston guy living here for 18 years. I listen to you every day. And I hate all four of your teams. Go Celts.
That's some weird mental thing.
Yeah, no. No parade. But here's what I see in your future, my friend. I see your squad going out and the Sixers advancing. And I see your squad not getting a chance to play the Sixers in the playoffs. So it's really irrelevant what happens tonight, isn't it? Your squad isn't going to go to the NBA Finals this year. I hate to break it to you.
And then there's another thing. you're going to lose Kyrie. He's gone at the end of the year because he hates that city, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
And you're not getting Anthony Davis either.
I don't worry about Boston. Yeah, listen, I got to give them credit. They've been very successful. So I can't sit here and snipe back at Boston.
The only time
my man, you know, this tells me my man's scared.
He hate listens to the show.
My man is scared. That's why you don't take the time to write an email like that unless you're scared.
He is a scare.
Yeah. All right. Let's go Cash in Mount Airy. Cash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Cash.
Mike, I need to know one thing. Is Al Horford playing tonight?
Is Al Horford playing?
Yeah, he's playing tonight.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Good! Because we're going to push him tonight!
What?
And I'm telling you!
What?
Mike, will you say something like, oh, wow, it doesn't matter if we lose this game tonight?
It matters because it matters in the growth of the team, but it doesn't matter practically when you're talking about Boston per se.
Mike, that's like you and Tyrone with this soft pass. And stuff. That's like saying, oh, I'm not going to go to school. I can go to school today because the bully's not going to be there. I can take my lunch today. I can take my lunch to school today because the bully's not going to be there. No, we need to beat them.
Cash, I agree with you, and I think they're going to win. I have no qualms with that. But what I'm saying is they're not going to play Boston. So whatever statement.
We don't have to play Boston. I'm going to tell you what.
We're
going to beat Indiana. And they gonna beat, whoever in the second round.
No, they're not
going. They're gonna beat the finals.
They're not gonna win.
I'm telling you,
they're not gonna. They're
Milwaukee,
not.
Milwaukee is not who they say.
They're not gonna beat Milwaukee in the second round.
They're gonna beat Milwaukee.
They are not. They are not gonna beat Milwaukee in the second round.
Doesn't matter. We still need to beat them.
I agree.
I'm embarrassed.
Listen, man, you need to calm yourself down, man. Because I'm about to give you an NCAA team. You want an NCAA team?
Listen, Mike. Before I get my NCAA team, I knew I was a little hyped. But I'm just sick of this Boston stuff. But I'm only more talented than him. I'm going to beat him today.
I understand.
All right, listen, I appreciate your hype. I appreciate it. I like it.
And if you don't, it'd be devastating.
All right, Cash. You ready for your team? I'm picking out a team for you to ride for the NCAA tournament. There are only three left.
I'd rather have a general knowledge question.
All right, I'll give you a general knowledge question. Left. All right, you don't want a team. There's two number two seeds and a one seed left. You don't want another team. All right, here it is. Now this is the hard category, the hardest one. The most important people in history. I'll give you who they are and what they did, and you got to tell me the person. All right? Who was the founder of Buddhism?
Jet Li.
Who? Jeff Linney?
No.
Who did
he say? Jet Li.
Oh, Jet Li?
Yeah, the actor.
Come on, man.
Jet Li.
That was a trick question, but it was like a gift. Tried to give him a gift.
He didn't deserve that
gift.
Trying
to give some people a gift. They didn't get it. Buddha was the founder of Buddhism.
He might need Buddha.
He needs
Buddha.
Yeah, he does need
need some calm. Tony, uptown. Tony, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Tony, talk to me.
Yo, Mike, following that call, man, I don't know what to say, man. It's crazy. But listen, yo, I appreciate you taking my call. I love your show. Like, I look forward to you at 2 o'clock, man. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yo, listen, I tried to call you like 15 times yesterday, man, trying to get through about this Martelli thing, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand your perspective about the AD coming in and the pressure that the job comes with. But me being a loyal guy and a nice guy, man, I lean more towards that than the business savvy side of it. Like, for me, I would have sat Phil down like, listen, you know, I'm under a lot of pressure. I'm thinking about going in another direction. But I appreciate you, your contribution to the university and the city. And I feel like you deserve a 25th year. You know, I think that perspective would have been better for this man who's done so much for the city and for the university. You know, I know you say just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and all of that, but it would have been better for them to get this guy all the accolades and allow him to be celebrated throughout the season. You know, to me, you know.
Wait, are you saying that you would tell him that he would only have one more year and do the Dumphy thing to him?
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
You know, what kind of a solution is that? To me, that's the worst thing you can do.
I think it gives him a lot of, it shows him respect for being there, you know, like rather than just to fire him. You know,
understand the recruiting part of this. If you got a lame duck coach, your program kind of stops they just stop the video of your program.
But listen, I'm not saying that it's the right thing. I know for me, you know, I would have started next year rather than, what's the difference of starting this year or next year? You know, to me, it really didn't matter, but it would have meant more to me to allow this man,
you're telling me two different things. You're saying that you would have given him a farewell year. The other side of that is you would have let him coach one more year just so he can get to 25, so he can get to that even number.
It's both reasons. It's not just one.
One reason doesn't work. If you say, all right, we'd like to give you one more year just so we can get to 25, and then you fire him up to 25, that's different than giving him a farewell tour, because a farewell tour messes up your recruiting.
Well, either way, the people would still look at it like it's a farewell tour, whether he gets 25 or he gets one more year.
No, they wouldn't. If you give him another year, you give him 25 year, nobody knows that it's his last year unless you tell him.
Well, that's the thing. He can create his own narrative. He can say, have a press conference and say he's going to retire or health reasons. They can say whatever they want to say. But I'm saying this would have been my meeting with him one-on-one.
Okay. All right. But here's the other side, Matt. And I'm just playing devil's advocate with you. Clearly, if they say to you, we're only going to give you one more year to coach because we want to do it with dignity, you're clearly not behind the guy, right? You're clearly telling him he's not good enough and you want to make a change. Now, why would you want to coach under those circumstances and the administration is just throwing you a year for no reason, but they don't really believe in you?
It's a difficult situation any way you look at it, but the best way to show homage to someone who's put in so much time is to give them that.
That's not the way it works in sports, unfortunately. Sports is a hardcore business. If you have decided that your program is not good enough under a particular administration, as the athletic director, you have a lot of people to answer to. So you can't play farewell games. Now, Temple tried to do it by saying, we've got this guy playing the NBA who's been an assistant, and because of his name, it's not going to kill us in recruiting. If you gave Martelli a year, there's no coaching weight on that staff. It's different. It's completely different. So if you're the AD, you go, now is when I got to cut ties. He's a good man. It's going to be unpopular. But I feel that the program is going to be better under somebody else. Now, that AD may be totally wrong. But the farewell tour thing doesn't work. It's not practical. Cindy and Langhorne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Cindy.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Cindy?
This is Chaz and Cindy from Bristol. I don't know if you remember, but
Chaz.
I hate those Celtics.
Who are you again?
Chaz from Bristol.
Chaz from Bristol.
Yes.
Why does it say Cindy up there?
It's my girl.
Why'd you put your girl's name up there?
She put it up there. Say hi.
All right. Hey. Hi, Cindy. How you doing,
Mikey?
Hi, Cindy. How you doing?
I want Blackie.
All right. Put Chaz back on. What's going on here, man? Chaz, you still there?
I remember how I was talking about that full moon tonight?
I don't know what that was about. Maybe there were people knew me from the old day. I don't know.
I said there was a full moon tonight. Mm-hmm. These calls have been very exemplary.
Do I know Sydney from back in the day? Maybe.
That means yes. That maybe.
So Chaz married Cindy.
What did she say?
I don't know.
Hey, Mikey.
But it wasn't. The only
no,
thing
and then
I'm
she said something
for,
else.
Yeah, I was I listening hear. For profanity. There was no profanity. It may have been inappropriate, but it wasn't curse words.
All right, let's That's go to Paul Conchahawk. And Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, talking about Martelli and, you know, how that all unfolded, you in your open, you talked about, you know, doing the right thing. People think there's a consensus that people think he was wronged or it was handled poorly. But you touched on it in the last call. There's really no way to do it the right way because we don't know what kind of conversations happened behind closed doors. They could have maybe said, you can retire, quote unquote, but then, you know, we all can read between the lines. We all know what was the objective of the administration.
You see, that doesn't work either because now you're forcing the guy to retire and that's going to get out and that's going to make you look even worse rather than you just stepping out and say, we decided to make a change.
Exactly. So all these people that think it was handled the wrong way, what is it, the press statement was not soft enough or the language, you know, I would love to hear how it should have been handled because at the end of the day...
Well, that's what I'm talking about. See, when you write a story, and I know Dana O'Neill, and she's a good writer, and she covered college basketball for a long time. It's like, oh, they handled it the wrong way. All right, well, then tell me what the right way was. Because exactly. I feel the same way you do. I like Phil Martelli, and I feel it makes me feel bad that he lost the job. So, but you can't write a story based on that without saying, okay, here was the right way. Here's what they should have done. Because it's easy to say they did the wrong thing if you like the guy.
Absolutely. And the other point I want to make is the same thing applies for when coaches leave. So, you know, there's been so many examples of guys coaching a team and then just jumping on a plane and leaving that day and texting their players. That's the wrong way in my mind, you know, and it works both ways.
And to his credit, he had a chance to leave. He had a chance to take a big-time job after that Jameer Nelson team. He decided to stay with St. Joe. So he deserves that kind of respect and loyalty within the organization, within the school. But the alumni wants to win games. You know, there's nothing you can change about that. There's some kind of school pride in you winning your conference and going to the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. Change needed to be made. I don't know how else they could have done it. So,
all right, man. You want to do a general knowledge question?
Absolutely.
All right. This is a baseball question. You good in baseball trivia?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you name the only five players in Major League history to record 3,500 hits? In fact, I'll just give me two of them.
Pete Rose.
Me two of the five players.
Pete Rose is one. Alex Rodriguez.
Who's that?
A-Rod.
A-Rod did not. Hit 3,500. Sorry about that. A-Rod did not have 3,500 hits. Ty Cobb, 4,191. Hank Aaron, 3,771. Stan Musial, 3,660. Tris Speaker, 3,514. And Derek Jeter missed it by 35. Could have hung on for 35 more hits. Cheat, no?
Need to come back a whole nother year.
Couple more years of sending gift baskets to his ladies.
Nah, but he couldn't because the his now wife.
Oh, and, that's right. She was involved by the end.
She was squeezing him.
She was what?
She was squeezing him by the end. She wasn't going to wait too much longer.
What do you mean squeezing him?
Hey.
I'm
kind of a top model here.
Right.
I can get somebody else. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Well, he could have played another year with Mariner.
Nah, not him. Would you trust the guy who's known for the gift baskets? You can't trust him.
Oh, she didn't want him on the road anymore?
No, you got to keep a close eye on
him. She's living with him in Manhattan. He used to bring him into his Manhattan pad.
Yeah, and Florida.
And then give him a gift basket with
a signed
baseball, man.
No, Florida. He didn't. Yeah. Is that true?
That's 100%.
I always thought that was a rumor.
No, that is true.
What was in the basket? A signed baseball?
Sometimes it used to be. It started with iPods and stuff.
Yeah, some goodies. And a signed Derek Jeter baseball.
Yep. Then it went to iPod Touch, and then you would get different stuff and a confidentiality agreement.
And where would he keep these? In his closet?
Nah, by the door on the way out.
No.
Yeah, because you had to leave your phone. because you couldn't take pictures and stuff. It was smart, really. And the non-disclosure.
Were the baskets wrapped in that cellophane with like a nice little bow?
Oh, I don't know, but it was definitely a basket, and that was real.
How would you feel getting signed Derek Jeter baseball after a date, Matt?
I don't think it was after just a date.
And an iPod Touch.
Oh, yeah, it was after a date.
Everybody it's just a date, Matt.
It's just a date.
They watched Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix and chill.
Yeah, some white wine.
Wow.
At the end of the night.
I always thought that was just like an urban legend.
The night. Here's a gift basket.
Here's a baseball signed by myself. Derek Jeter,
number two.
Oh, Netflix has ruined Netflix and chill.
It's what?
Their shows have gotten so good. Like, if you're watching Narcos.
Yeah.
And the two of you sit down and watch Narcos.
There's no chilling involved.
You just going to keep on watching Narcos because it's so good. You're not going to do any of the chilling.
Binge watching with Derek Jeter.
Those good shows.
John in Norristown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Mikey Mess, what's up, guys?
What's up, John?
Hey, listen, I keep hearing all these guys talk about, oh, Ben Simmons, he don't show up during big games. There's other players showing up during the big games, though. Like during that Bucks game, Embiid was killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so was Butler. So where was room for Ben Simmons to show up?
Well, I thought Ben was a little passive, to be honest. He gets your point, because other guys picked up a slack, and sometimes you don't need Ben to be Ben. Last night they needed Ben to be Ben, because they were missing Embiid. So he stepped up huge.
And big, and we needed that win. I don't care how a win comes. A win is a win.
Yeah, it is. I agree. That was a nice win for them last night. They bucked up. All of them stretched out their minutes. They won the game. It was an important thing for them.
And we all had, all of our main players all had 20 points. I mean, that's what we want to see, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't understand. Like both. I don't understand the other side of this whole
thing. Well, we were looking at Ben on against Milwaukee, and you know maybe he was a little timid against Milwaukee, so they're saying, okay, that's a big game. He was timid. There goes Ben again. But you got to wait till this year's playoffs to see it. And tonight's a big test because Boston has bottled him up. I'm curious to see whether you know what they designed to break him loose from this Boston defense.
Tonight is a big night, I think, and I agree with you 100%. I think we're going to win it tonight. I just have that feeling. And not that this game is the say-all be-all, though, because I don't think we're going to see Boston. I really don't think we're going to see Boston in the playoffs.
I totally agree with you. All right, now you have your choice of the house here. I can give you a team to ride for the NCAA tournament, or you could have a general knowledge question where the prize is a chance to get in our knockout tournament and also a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys.
So I'm gonna roll the dice with the team. Give me the team.
All right, you want a team, and it's a wise decision because we have two number one seeds left, and two number two seeds, and a number one. And you got the number one.
Number one. Baby.
Guess who you got? Duke.
Yes, baby. Yes.
John from Norristown gets the Dukies. All right, congratulations to John. But there are still two number twos left that can actually get to the Final Four. Let's go to Joe and Broomall. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
Look, I'm going to break the basketball talk for a second
mm-hmm.
and ask you an unbelievable question
mm-hmm.
with the Flyers game last night.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? What was that last night? I mean, was it an exhibition game or I mean, it's right there, the playoff. You were right in saying they went to Pittsburgh. They did their business. They played a hell of a. They did a hell of a job. And then what was that? I mean, it was an exhibition game. They didn't show up.
Well, listen, I can't. They kind of blew their chance when they lost the two games before the Pittsburgh game. I've kind of bailed out on the playoffs. So I really wasn't invested that much in the result of last night because it's over, Joe. It's over.
Well, that's what I was telling you. It was over. Remember, I called.
Yeah, it's over. So last night they're playing a game. They know it's over. They know they can't possibly win getting the playoffs.
Like I said, I'm breaking all mold. Everybody's talking basketball, and they should. But this—I
mean, they weren't that bad. They didn't get smoked last night. They were in the game.
Well, what? What do you mean they were in the game? They never bothered.
They got down 2-0. They got within 2-1, and then they just didn't finish.
Well, you know, Montreal ain't nothing to scream about either. You know, in all fairness, but
I mean, they've lost some key games, but they, but I mean, they went in the Flyers' house and they do business. Come on,
uh-huh.
I mean, you beat Pittsburgh against Crosby and the gang away, and then you know, hey, you know, this is our time. We beat, you know, 2-time Stanley Cup champion, and they do this to Montreal.
Yeah,
really? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, can't get all bent out of shape about
well,
it because this season,
for the record, kind of over. The whole team, get rid of Giroux, get all the picks, and get rid of all.
No. They're an up and coming team. They played well enough at the end of the year to give you a little hope. Their young players are okay. They're a team on the come. They might not be ready to win anything yet, but next year's going to be a better year than this year. There's no reason to get rid of all guys now. You just grow with these guys.
Like Giroux, who's like up there in years, and all the other players.
He's got a no trade. He's got a no trade. You're not going to get rid of Giroux.
Well, then, yeah, you would know better than I would.
Yeah,
I
mean, Giroux is here to stay. All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Let me tell you something, Mike. Just like the guy in Washington, I'm dumb as a rock. I wouldn't even know anything.
Well, you might get something here. All right, this is the general knowledge category. You could take a shot. All right?
It would be like a blind squirrel looking for an acorn.
I'll give you this one. What animal represents the Republican Party of the United States?
Oh, I'm not that dumb. Elephant.
Well, there you go. You see that? You sure changed yourself. The elephant. And, of course, the donkey represents the Democratic Party. Or the, many Republicans would say, the ass. Coming up next, it is Serena Winters. We'll talk about tonight's game, big game, against the Boston Celtics back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. It is time to get an update on our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Miss Natalie Eganoff.
Yes, Mike?
By the way, can I break the news of the magazine, or is that...
I don't know. Are you allowed to?
I don't know, but I think I will anyway.
Do you want to do it now or after the Twitter poll?
We'll do it after Serena.
Okay.
Give me the Twitter poll.
Right? Okay. So... today's Twitter poll is tonight a must win against the Celtics. Over 1,500 votes on here. 87% say yes, it's important. 13% say no, won't see them again.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Now, for more insight, this is a big game tonight. Sunday was a big game. They passed that test. Yesterday, a big game without Embiid. They passed that test. And here we come with the nemesis. The Sixers and Boston Celtics tonight, and of course, covering the game's courtside for NBC Sports Philadelphia, the great Serena Winters on the Comcast Business Hotline. Serena, how you feeling about tonight's game?
Oh, Mike, it is a big one. Let me answer that Twitter poll for you. Yes, it feels like a must win, Mike. It sure feels like it. I mean, this is one of those ones that everybody's... I'm almost a little nervous for the Sixers, you know? It just feels like they need this one. And with everything that's gone on, the psyche, the mentality, I mean, even talking to J.J. Redick after that last win over Charlotte, I found it interesting that even he admitted, right, that psychologically, they need this one.
Yeah, a lot of eyeballs in this game. And let's see, here's the downside of it. It's a back-to-back, and, you know, those starters played close to 40 minutes, all of them last night. So how does that factor into tonight? You got a fresh Embiid, but the rest of the guys, 40-minute games.
I mean, you can't ignore that, right? And that's something that Brett Brown was asked about after last night's game was, Did you mean to play him that many minutes? Is it worth it to do so? And Brett said there were exactly two things on his mind, Mike. One, to win that game. And number two, to win that game. So you look at those minutes and you've got Jimmy, you've got Tobias, you've got Ben all putting up 38, 39 minutes last night. We probably got in around 1 a.m. or so
There was no shoot around this morning, so hopefully they got some rest, sleeping in, resting up. But that is something where if this game gets close and we start to see some tired legs, that it could be something you factor into. But I think that having Joel Embiid fully rested, I think it was very smart to rest him for that game. And he did work out yesterday, keep him fresh. And so I think that really is the most important thing.
All right. Now, they're 7-1, I guess. Is that the record? 7-1 with these guys? 6-1 with these guys?
6-1,
yeah, because Embiid sat out. That's right. So they're 6-1 with the configuration of all the guys together. They look like they're playing with a lot more confidence. I mean, I don't want to read into it too much, but they look like they have gained some continuity with these guys. Are you seeing the same thing from courtside?
I am, and I caution because, like what you just said, right? The 6-1, the 7-game span, and the recent games is just such a small sample size. But what I can tell you that I've noticed, and what is most important when it comes postseason time with any of these teams, even with Boston, for example, is buying into the roles and the strengths of your teammates. And I think that is one of the most important things that I have seen over these past couple of games, going back to that Milwaukee game, is you're seeing guys buy into their roles, what Tobias's role is, what JJ's role is, and really importantly, what Jimmy's role is and how that all fits in, how Ben manifests all of that. So I think that if we see again tonight that they're all buying into these roles, that is the best sign that I think I could get for whether or not they're going to go deep in these playoffs.
All right, let's talk about Ben Simmons a little bit, because you hear the same people I hear. Ben doesn't engage against the really good teams. Now, Milwaukee, I thought he was a little reticent. He comes back last night like a tiger. Now, this is a team that has been able to handle him. What do you expect to see differently that Brett Brown can put in a game plan to free him up from the shackles of what the Celtics do to him?
Look, I understand what you're saying. I understand what the critics are saying. I know when you look at the numbers of how he's matching up against big teams, I see what that's saying. But let's also go back to some of the big games that we forget, right? Like the Golden State Warriors game, for example. And yeah, you can say that Clay didn't play that game or whatever, but he has also stepped up in big moments. I know that Boston has had his number a bit too, but I think you also have to remember that in these different games, he's been playing different roles with different teams. And you're never going to go into a game and think that Ben Simmons is automatically going to be your big scorer that night or your MVP that night. And I will also tell you that Ben hears those critics too, right? I mean, that doesn't go unnoticed. So I'm sure that he's going to come in here with a mentality of, let's not have what happened, you know, last game. In terms of what exactly Brett can do to put him in, I guess, better situations, I don't know that I could tell you that. I think that what you want to see is just Ben continuing to facilitate, go at the rim. He's been so much more comfortable, it seems like, to me, at the free throw line. That is huge, because we all know what's going to happen when these games come down to late game situations. You're going to want to get, you know, opponents want the ball in Ben's hands so you can foul him. He knows that. Brett knows that. They've been working on that. I kind of hope I see a little bit of that tonight so that we can see how Ben does in those situations.
Talking to Serena Winters, who covers the Sixers from courtside on NBC Sports Philadelphia Telecast. Serena, what did Sunday's win actually mean? To a lot of people here, it's like, well, they kind of match up well with Milwaukee. Milwaukee's now making 3-point shots. They're really not going to hurt them, and they singled up most of those guys last night. That's why Giannis gets 52, but yeah, they held him in check from the 3-point line. What statement did they make on Sunday?
Oh, well, I mean, I go back to how we started this conversation, Mike, and talking about how can they get up for big teams. There's so much talk about playing down to opponents, and what really matters is how they get up against these big teams. And I think they honestly made a statement. They came out and said that even though we'd only played, what, 6 games together with that starting lineup at that point, that they had been able to build that chemistry in such a short amount of time that this is what you're going to see in the playoffs. And I think that what it told me watching that game is if we can get that type of mentality with all of those guys, although they still need more from the bench, and we saw that the other night when James Ennis III was the only guy that scored off the bench, that shows me that they can absolutely hang with the big dogs. But, and that was a statement that Milwaukee made to me. And if they come out on top tonight, they know that Gordon Hayward's not playing for Boston. That matters. But that's just an even more powerful statement that they can hang with the big dogs.
Yeah, I love them tonight. I really do. I think that tonight is a perfect storm for them to beat Boston and really get this crowd hyped for the rest of the season and in the playoffs. Now, you're fortunate enough to get close to these players after the game. You had J.J. on last night talking about the 10 rebounds. Have you asked him the question why he went semi-high and tight to tight and flat with the hair? You had a chance to ask him that question?
Really hard-hitting journalism question.
Yeah, the hard-hitting. I want to know the hard-hitting journalism.
I just missed that one.
You didn't ask him about that.
No, I did not.
I just wondered if word was floating around on why he decided to change the deal.
Word was not floating around. I have to admit that was not the number one thing on the mind. But I will keep that in the back pocket just for you.
Yes, do that, please. not that it matters, but he's been a consistent semi-high and tight dude. And all of a sudden, one day he shows up and he's tight and flat.
Oh, I know. It has been a topic amongst the fans. But you also noticed, by the way, that T.J. McConnell kind of showed up that way, too. I don't know if they've got the same barber or what, but usually when J.J. changes it up, so does T.J.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at TJ's hair last night. I was looking at the minus 10. But that's another story. Serena, listen, have a great one tonight. We'll see you down there. And this is definitely a Sixers win tonight. I feel it.
Ooh, this is a big one.
Yeah, I got him. I love him. All right, Serena, thanks. Serena Winters, Comcast Business Hotline, does a good job on that sideline.
She does. She does a really good job down on the sideline, and she seems to get those guys to open up after the game, which is, I don't think, the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple guys that will open up and a couple guys that won't. Ben Simmons won't.
But doesn't seem like that's in his DNA.
No, it's not his DNA. Joel will open up. JJ has the cerebral conversation. Tobias is nice about it.
JJ, that was the most I've seen him open up. He didn't use any big words. He was just happy he got those 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he's a shooter, but the rebounds jumped right out to him. That was him. I guess
my bucket list to get him on the air. We haven't been able to make that happen because I want to talk like I talk hitting the Bryce Harper. I talk shooting the JJ.
Yeah.
So JJ
gotta have that convo.
And JJ's hair, as you mentioned, they were saying is it's a very Northeast Philly cut.
It's a Northeast Philly cut,
yes,
flat top.
Very flat top, faded up the sides.
Fade flat.
Yeah, all he's missing is like a polo hat. Some gray sweatpants, Adidas flops.
I wonder why he went, because consistently he had the little poof, high and poof.
Yeah.
Has to be
tight and poofed.
That's got to be from the missus.
Yeah?
Got to be.
You think so?
Got to be.
What, she asked him to cut his hair?
Yeah, change it up. Now, she might not like the change, but I bet she was like, you know, I'm tired of this. Do something different. Mm-hmm. So then he pops over to the shop, asks for something different. That's what he got.
Okay.
Looked like he went to Father Judge.
610-632-0975. Those things that stick out to me like that. I am looking at the do.
Now, I went viral at first. It did. Oh, yeah, all over Twitter. Yeah. That's how the Northeast thing came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy Butler has one of the coolest heads of hair ever. And then he messed that up with he went rose for reasons that are unclear.
But then he undid them.
Right away, undid him. But yeah. Like, what's the mentality of going when you got cool? Why, you know, change the cool up?
It's a lot of management. I'm probably going to have to, on vacation time, I have to go with the rose.
Well, just trim it. Nah. Just go to LeBron's barbershop.
Nah, I'm not.
You're getting cornrows?
Yeah, but I'm not going to be on TV with them.
Why? Do it.
Not in 2019. Come
the
on.
Shop.
Who cares?
With Drake and Tyrone Johnson.
Oh, that'd be good conversation. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to, I got some things to say to Drake anyway.
Uh-huh. And Missy Elliott.
Well, that'd be nice. She'd be good, Missy. Talk to her about.
Why is she there?
She was on before, wasn't she?
Was she on the show?
No, Mary J. Blige.
Yes, Mary J. Blige,
not Missy Elliott. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, 3:48 is the Mike Missanelli Show. Looks like Phil Martelli has released a statement that we're trying to get. It was tweeted out. It's in picture form.
Yeah, it's being posted as a picture.
That's two photos.
So it's a bunch of different pictures, or it's just a screenshots of the statement.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we'll have it when we clear it up here.
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking for it now. My Twitter feed. It should be there.
John Clark has it.
I follow him, so it would pop up on mine, right?
Well, you'd have to go to him. It wouldn't just...
Oh, yeah. I have to go to his Twitter feed?
Just type in his...
John Clark? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Hold on a second.
We printed it, but it cut off.
Because it's a picture. We printed it and it cut off.
Okay.
So I'm sending it to your phone now.
Okay, I got it.
There you go.
Tweets, Phil Martelli. The ending is not what I imagined. Through the pain and numbness, I am excited. That's page two? Okay. Here we go. For 34 years, I, with my family, was honored to play a significant role at St. Joseph's University. Every day, in every way, I strove to be a partner and representative for all that St. Joseph stood for. It was my good fortune to have wonderful partners as we aspired to chase greatness on and off the court. The players and their families who gave me the trust, the assistant coaches who exhausted themselves daily, the support staff who pounded away behind the scenes, the fans and followers who cheered, debated, and loved the Hawks. I saw all the student-athletes, the players... I created an atmosphere environment where success could be pursued academically, socially, and obviously athletically. Act like a champion was the mantra. I understand that college basketball is about winning and losing and all things coming to an end. And St. Joe's, SJU has the right to select who coaches their team. And then I kind of lost it.
You have to scroll to the next picture.
Scroll to the next picture? SJU is part of the fabric of my DNA and part of the fabric of this fine institution. Together we celebrated many great victories, none bigger than 33 graduation days. SJU gave me and my family a time to build relationships for life, create memories, bring joy and happiness to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. The ending is not what I imagined. I recognize that the last 3 years have been a challenge, but challenges are part of life and we must move forward. Through the pain and numbness, I am excited. I am fired up. I need to be on a sideline and working with hungry student athletes who want to be challenged to put smiles on people's faces and joy in their hearts. The challenge of becoming champions. SGO will always be a part of me. I will not be left with a scar. I will choose to have only great memories. Representative Elijah Cummings so perfectly stated, don't ask the question, why is this happening to me? But ask the question, why is this happening for me? I would like to extend a sincere thanks to all who have supported me and been a part of my life for 34 years. Eloquently written.
That's a nice statement.
Yeah. All right, let's go Matt in Downingtown. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
I'm all teary-eyed now after you hearing that.
Oh, man, that's not right. Come on.
No, I'm not saying that. No. I feel bad for Phil now. I like Phil Martelli. Yeah. I actually met him once in a bar one time, and he was a good dude.
Yes. Very nice man.
He was. So about the Sixers, I thought last night was a big statement win, you know, without Joel. I thought J.J. Redick really stepped up to the plate. He was huge that first half, and, you know, Ben contributed to, you know, what he had to do without Joel. And tonight, I'm just really, really psyched for this game tonight. I like the Sixers, given the points. I think it's going to be a battle, but I think it's going to come down to, you know, maybe a 3-4 point game. So I'm totally psyched.
I think the Sixers win. Tyrone, latest line. What is it?
Three.
Three. Sixers three?
Yeah, I think Sixers. Yep. Yeah, I think
they cover that. All right, yeah, now, Matt, did you get a team yesterday?
No, I didn't get a team.
You didn't get a team. Would you like a team or a general knowledge question? There are two teams left in my little bag here. You want a team or a general knowledge question?
Give me a team, Mike.
All right, you got the team. All right. Two number two seeds are left. You got Kentucky.
Nice.
All right. That is a potential national championship.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Matt. You got it. Matt, so there's one ticket left. There's one number two seed left in the bag. And then we wrap this baby up. John and Penn Salkin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, John?
Nine, you're killing me with the picks, the last couple picks, Kentucky and Duke out of the bag.
Yeah, but there's one number two left, and you can have it if you want it.
Sunday's game was a huge win. Yesterday's game was a nice win without Joel. Tonight's game is big. I don't think it's quite as big as everyone in Philadelphia is making it out to be, mm-hmm. but I think they do have to come up with a win during the regular season.
It's big in the extent that this team's kryptonite. That's how. Yeah, that's why it's big. You know, it's not big in the course of like whether they're going to win the East.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I think it's really big for Ben Simmons and for Joe. I think they have to play well.
I agree with you. Yeah, this, really this damn Al Horford thing. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, and if I had to answer what you do with Ben against this team is, I would put him in the post a little more.
You might see that tonight. Now, I think he's got to take the initiative to bust through that wall when he's got the ball at the top, because he gets real timid when they splay three across.
As soon as they back off him, yep.
So I want to see him, like, you know, do a little Euro stepping, you know, get past him, get to pass the first line of defense with his natural ability.
Have the aggressiveness to do it like you did last night.
Yep.
I mean, just attack the rim and get in the post, do whatever you got to do. But I'd like to see them two guys play well.
I totally agree with you, brother. All right, John, you want the last ticket?
Yeah, I'll take it.
John, you got Tennessee.
Tennessee, they got a
number two seed. I got Tennessee going to the Final Four.
Yeah, they got a shot.
All right, you got it. John from Pensauken, that's the last ticket. All 33 have been taken. Duke was taken today. The number one seed in the whole tournament, John in Norristown, has them. And a couple number two seeds, Kentucky and Tennessee, were taken today. So there it is, the Missinelli Elitist Pool. Good luck to you. 4 o'clock hour, we're all about general knowledge and trying to qualify you for a spot in the knockout tournament and a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys with special guests Modest Mouse and Jesse Wilson. That's October 14th. Mike Missinelli Show. Stay right there. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.